look out and smile at you, and hopefully you're going to smile back at me this evening. I don't have anything, I don't believe, that's going to cause you to frown at me this evening. I do have a sermon that actually I feel very good about. I knew what I was going to preach about last week when my brother Bick opened with a scripture out of Psalms, and it really struck me very deeply, and I said, I want to speak on that next week. But I didn't know how I was going to address it or where I was going to go with it. And as I was preparing my sermon yesterday, still not knowing which direction I was going to go with it, I went upstairs and removed myself from the hustle and the bustle that is usually around our house. And I sat down and I knew where I was going to go. It was one of those times, I'm sure every minister here has had it from time to time, that they sit down and boom, it's there. You've got a sermon, you've got it immediately, you know exactly what you're going to speak on. And I was excited. I wish I could have preached yesterday. I really wish I could have preached this sermon yesterday when the Lord directed me which way to go. But I'm still excited this evening about this sermon. As you remember, last week our brother started in Psalms, the 139th Psalm to be exact. But I'm only going to use the first seven verses that he used. The first seven. And these first seven verses contain some very wonderful, wonderful thoughts, but also some very sobering thoughts. And I want to address that as I continue. The 139th Psalm. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit? And whither shall I flee from Thy presence? Verse 2 again. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. I want you to dwell on that particular verse right there and realize that the Lord knows your very thoughts. At this particular time, the Lord is right behind you, and He knows what you are thinking at this very minute. Every one of you. He knows why you've come this evening. He knows whether you're hopeful of being inspired this evening, of coming a little closer to Him. He knows everything. He even knows if you're looking at me and Bob and saying, boy, Steve's a lot better looking than Bob Oldham. He knows that. I mean, He knows your very thoughts, whatever they might be. And those can be inspiring, but they can be very sobering also, knowing that the Lord is looking over your shoulder right now. And not only right now, not only when you're only in church, but every minute of your life, He is there. Our Lord knows all. He knows all about you. He sees all. And maybe most important of all, He feels all. And I want you to think about that a little bit. He feels all. He feels your pain. He feels your joy. And through those thoughts and emotions that you have, he either feels joy or he feels pain and suffering because of you. And that causes me to reflect. It causes me to sober up my thoughts a little bit. I want to turn to Hebrews. And as I was preparing this, and I knew what scripture, and I sat down, I was going to base it on, I sat down, and immediately, this is the scripture I turned to. The 6th chapter of Hebrews. And it's a scripture that I look at quite often, probably, and unfortunately, I don't look at it often enough. And it's not the scriptures that you think when we think of the 6th chapter of Hebrews that I would start with. I'm going to start with the 4th verse. No, I'm not going to start with the 1st verse. I'm going to start with the 4th verse. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That is us, folks. That is speaking to you and I, each and every one of us in this congregation, each and every one of us here, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if we shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. He's not addressing the general world. He is addressing us as believers, as followers, as people who have made a decision to follow after Jesus Christ. And he's saying, I know your very thoughts. I know what you're thinking at this moment. You have made a commitment. And this scripture tells me that if I fall back to my old ways, to my old self, he feels that pain. He suffers again. Why? Because of me. Because of me. And because of you. And I hope, and I think most of us make a conscious effort to not sin, to keep the commandments of God, to do those things that we know to be right. We are doing right. But are we thinking right all the time? Are your thoughts those thoughts that would shame our Lord, that would cause him to feel pain? Or are your thoughts that would make him rejoice? I would hope so, and I would think that each of us look at our shortcomings from time to time, maybe more often than from time to time, and look at it this way. Look at how we are either causing our Savior to rejoice or cause him to feel pain. It's going to be one or the other. Don't believe there's going to be anything in between. He is either going to feel joy because of us or he's going to feel disappointment because of us. And not just because, gosh, I'm a good person. I come here on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening. I'm not going to tell you that's neither here nor there with him, but that's not what he's looking at. He's with you every minute, every second of your life. We believe in an all-powerful, omnipotent God that is capable of just that. And I hope we don't put the limitations on him and say, I can slip this by. Or he didn't know that I really thought that for a second, or a minute, or an hour, or for a year. Because he does. I know that if we feel this, we're going to do something about it. But I'm not so sure that everyone feels this way. I am not so sure that everyone feels that the Lord is looking every second at their lives. I'm not so sure. I know there's only one way. There's only one condition in which you can be assured that he is. And that's if your Savior, Jesus Christ, is your personal Savior. And I know that sounds like a cliche that is used throughout the world by a lot of churches. But it fits, folks. It fits very neatly. Because that is the only way. The only way that you can have that knowledge and be assured that he is watching you every second, and not only that, but directing you every second, is if he is your personal Savior. Robert Oldham cannot get you any closer to Jesus Christ. He can lead you to the way that you can draw closer to Jesus Christ, but he can't get you any closer to Jesus Christ. He can expound the scriptures and show you the right way, and then you make the commitment to draw yourself close to Jesus Christ, where he is that personal Savior. You have that personal relationship, and then when you do something in your life that you know is not quite right, you have the knowledge and the understanding that you are causing pain to your closest friend and your dearest friend and one who loves you more than anyone else in this world, more than your wife loves you, more than your husband loves you, more than your children love you. But that is only possible with that closeness that you need to have with Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone. You know, I dislike ministers, and I'm going to say, boy, that sounded harsh. I disliked ministers that preach, do this and do this and do this, and they never give you a way to. Well, I'm going to give you a couple short ways to get personal with Jesus Christ and what it's going to take. And they're real simple, and you know them. I'm going to remind you of them this evening. And these came to me yesterday, and I think this is what caused me to get excited about my sermon. So I'm going to tell you how. And they're really simple. I want to turn, first of all, into 1 Peter. Goodness, it is quiet in here, isn't it? 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. I'm going to start reading with the 12th verse. This is the way you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Just not a formal relationship that you have here, but a personal one-on-one. Starting with 1 Peter 4th chapter 12th verse. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. You've made a change in your life, okay? We in this room have decided to make a change in our life. My brother said, I believe he said this morning, we put off the old man, we put on the new man. And with that new man is going to come some things, okay? And some of those things are not going to be pleasant. Are not going to be pleasant. You did say that this
morning.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. In becoming a new person, in becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, you are going to suffer some things, if you want to call them suffering. You are going to make sacrifices. And I think this is aptly applies to this scripture. You are going to make sacrifices. You are going to suffer as our Savior suffered. You are going to make sacrifices as our Savior made sacrifices for you in being this new man. And I know this for a fact. I know this because in attempting and trying to follow and serve the Lord, from time to time, there are things that we know to be right that go against what comes natural to us as humans. There are times when I'd rather not. You know what the Lord said? You remember what the Lord said when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane? I best not get too far away from this microphone, right? You remember he prayed to the Lord? He didn't want to suffer. He said, if this cup can be taken from me. Did he pray that three times? I believe he prayed that three times. He didn't want it to happen. He didn't want to have to suffer. He didn't want to have to make that sacrifice. He knew the pain that was going to be his. But he did it. We may not be called upon to make that kind of sacrifice, but we are called upon to make a sacrifice. We are called to serve. And we are called not just to serve our close little knit group here, but we are called to serve mankind. And there are times when it is not going to be what the natural man and we want to do, but we know it's right. And we know that the Lord would. We know what the Lord would do. And we are called to do the same. 17 through the end of the chapter. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. That's us. Okay? This is the same chapter I'm reading from. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, unto a... This just doesn't say creator, does it? It says a faithful creator. One who is looking over my shoulder. One who knows my thoughts and knows your thoughts and sees every second what I'm doing, and not only that, knows what I'm thinking. And in knowing those things, either feels joy or the opposite. Nothing in between, folks. Nothing in between. That's one way. He calls us to suffer and to sacrifice. To sacrifice. You want Christ as your personal Savior? You want to know that He is there when you call? Without question, do you want to know that He is there in a heartbeat, in a second, in less than a heartbeat? This is the way you do it. My brother, I was going to get to this later in my sermon. I'm not going to get to it. My brother spoke of an experience this morning when he did, you would think a grown man would be smarter than that, wouldn't you? What Bob described this morning on his tractor, on his lawnmower, you would think a grown man would be a lot brighter than that. For those of you who aren't here, he did a real foolish thing in his lawnmower, riding lawnmower, tipped over on him. And he couldn't do anything. He was there with the blades running and couldn't do a thing. And if I'm not mistaken, he said he reached once and he reached twice for the off switch and he couldn't reach it. And if I'm not mistaken, he said the prayer that I have offered before, and I believe it, I'll quote you wrong, but he said, "Lord, help me." I'm sure that he said in so many words, he said, "Lord, help me." Guess what? Guess what happened? Bob reached up and turned off the mower. The Lord was right there, wasn't He? Bob's personal friend. You know, it's a shame that too often we get real close to the Lord and we have a personal Savior only when things like this happen, right? I mean, isn't it true? From time to time, that's when we're the closest. You know, when He said that, He was going through there and I want to make an apology. When He was telling this, I was thinking to myself, this has happened to me. And I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention to Bob. I was thinking about when my father died in my arms. And it was the same thing. It was the same thing. I reached down and I breathed into my father once, twice. Nothing happened. What did I say? Exactly what Bob Oldham said. I said, "Dear Lord, save my father." I breathed into my father. You know what happened? I was able to reach the on switch instead of the off switch. The Lord reached that on switch. I didn't. I don't want it for me to have a personal Savior only at those extreme times. How do I make it so He's my close personal friend that I know is right there all the time? Sacrifice. Name of the game, folks. Name of the game, sacrifice. And you know what happens when you sacrifice? You think about those times that you have put yourself out for someone that could not return anything to you back. How did you feel? Whoa, right? Nothing like it in this world. Am I correct? Then why is it hard for us to do that? That's how we get close to the Lord. That's what He's called us to do. One way. The Lord doesn't draw close to us. We draw close to the Lord. The Lord's always there. All we got to do is turn and look. All we have to do is turn and look. Number two. All I've got is two ways, folks. Number two. Faith on Him. And I'm not talking about faith on Him in those dire circumstances like Bob had, like I've had. I'm talking about faith in Him and on Him. Both. I want to ask you a question. As you turn to a scripture, you know where I'm going to turn to. As you turn to Matthew 11, and you read the 28th through the 30th verse, do you really believe this? Do you really believe what this is saying to you? Or is it just a comforting scripture, knowing that the Lord is going to be there when I need Him? Is that what this scripture means to you? Or is it a scripture that means the Lord is there always? He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What's the next verse? "Take my yoke upon you." Take my yoke upon you. Suffer with me. Serve with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of my ways. Get close to me. Learn what it is to be a servant. Learn what joy we can have within our lives as suffering as Christ and serving as Christ. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. The service that I ask you, I command you to do, is easy with me. With me right beside you. That service is easy with me, and my burden is light. Is that just a comforting scripture, or do you believe everything that those three verses tell you? You want Christ close in your life? Believe those scriptures and what they tell you. Just don't take comfort in those scriptures. Just do not generalize these scriptures. Bob alluded, I don't know if he alluded or he came right out, because I was, at first when Bob started his sermon this morning, I thought, boy, this is nothing like I'm going to preach this evening. And as he went on, I said, oh my gosh, this is just what I'm going to preach this evening. It kind of scared me a little bit, but I don't know whether he alluded to it, because thoughts kept rushing to my mind this morning. But I want you to realize, and we each need to realize, that God has a plan for you. And it's not a plan that is just laid out in these scriptures. Not generalizations. But He has a plan for you as an individual. He knows everything that is going to take place in your life. And He has planned it. It's not, Jerry's plan is not my plan. And my plan is not Grandma's plan. All of us are going to have circumstances that come upon us. Things that are going to happen in our life. But guess what? The Lord knows them. The Lord knows that. He planned it. He knows and knew what family I was going to be born in. He knew who I was going to marry. He knew and knows what kids I had, was going to have. My wife and I were driving, and don't know what brought it up. And we were talking about the Lord and the plan. We didn't address it as a plan, but we looked at each other and she says, you know, I really can't say this in church because it really sounds like bragging. She says, I just can't imagine how I could have married into a family any better than what I did. I can't imagine being born into a family any better than I did. I can't imagine having children any better than I have. Can't imagine things that have taken place in my life to go any better. And we both says, I would not trade places with anyone in the world. You know why? It's my plan. It's my plan. It is the Lord's plan for me. It was the Lord's plan for Melissa. The Lord knows whether you're going to fall down and crush your kneecap. He knows whether you're going to twist your ankle. He knows whatever's going to happen to you. He knows that through the years of taking care of your children, whether your children are going to end up taking care of you. But you know, it's okay. Because it's the Lord's plan for you. If we believe that, if we trust in that, we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't believe that, folks, we're going to be bitter. We are going to be a bitter people. And we're going to, you know what we're going to say? Why me? Instead of saying, yes, me. The Lord did this for me for a purpose. Whatever it is, the Lord knows best. Because I trust in Him, I'm going to follow in Him, and He is going to make what is His yoke and His burden light. Yes, it is. And ours is too. But why? Right there. Right there, with His hand on my shoulder. Warm in this. Shouldn't have turned that air conditioner up, I don't think. That plan that He has, if you trust in the Lord, and whatever the circumstances may be, if you trust in the Lord and you trust that He has is leading you, then you're also going to trust that He is leading you through these circumstances of life that He knows about to eternal bliss. To eternal happiness. And a life with Him forever. But guess what? We have to follow that plan that He has for us. I want to turn to Romans. I think I'm going to close with this scripture. I want you to turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. This is also one of my brother's favorite scriptures, Brother Bick. And if you've listened to him preach for any amount of sermons, you know he's going to read this at some time or other. But I'm going to tell you this. Please believe this. Please believe this with all your heart. And we know that all things work together for good. A plan. To them that love God. To them who are called according to His purpose. From whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Please believe this. Please believe that this is talking about God's plan for you. Not a general plan, but that individual plan for you. What shall we say then to these things? If you believe that, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, if God be for us and leading us and right there, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for you. Right there, right now, thinking and knowing what you are thinking right at this second. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, those things I talked about, those things that we're going to have to suffer, or sacrifice, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through what? Through him who loved us. Through him who loves us and watches over us and guides us through our plan. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Are you assured of this? Or is there fear in your heart? Are you assured of this? Or is there fear in your heart? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because he's not just someone else's redeemer. He's my redeemer. He is my friend. He is here with me and in me. And I have and want to have a closer relationship with that Redeemer. As much as I love all my brothers and sisters out there, they cannot make that happen for me. I do it. And I alone. And you do it for you. And you alone. We hear in the church, and rightfully so, the statement, I don't know what I would do without the gospel of Jesus Christ in my life. Isn't it what they're saying? I don't know what I would do without Jesus Christ touching me and touching my life every day in every way. Isn't that what we're saying? I believe it is. And I believe that if we follow those two simple steps, just two simple steps, that we will have that relationship with Jesus Christ that we all want and we all yearn for. And we all have felt from time to times in our life, greater than other times. Yes, we have. Yes, we have. And yes, we do. Well, this is what the Lord has given me. And that's all the Lord's given me. So I'm not going to prolong this sermon. I'm not going to make a grandiose closure, because I think I have said exactly what the Lord wanted me to say. And I hope you will take it to heart. I hope you will think about in your lives when you leave this place and you head out on 23rd Street or Lee Summit Road, and that fella cuts you off right in front of you, that the Lord knows your thoughts. The Lord knows your thoughts. And you can either glorify Him or cause Him to feel ashamed. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve.